Hey, let's head to the hop. Boys and girls are bebopping in bobby socks, hoop skirts, rolled up jeans and short-sleeved shirts, and penny loafers. The days of ponytails, poodles, pixies, beehives, and bouffants. For the guys, Brill Cream. In those days, music's wannabes and make-it-happens delivered vinyl discs door-to-door in the hopes of gaining a toehold on Billboard's Hot 100 and climb to recognition and stardom. Inexorably, though, time, technology, and trends take the mouse, highlight the names and titles of pop culture's hottest of the hot, and delete, placing them in a digital dustbin or archiving them in neatly organized files that increasingly are left alone, fated to be forgotten. History's hatred plays out in the fading memories of minds gotten older and sequential generations increasingly disinterested in mom and pop's music. Pop's gems and precious stones are thrown together in the same box with regular rock, tiny pebbles and dirt clods, the last fan standing from among a disparate but devoted demographic, left uniquely able to discern one from another. Freddie Cannon, though, is still standing. Freddie found rock favor in the late 1950s and is among the ranks that stormed the beaches of America's top 40 and won the teeny boppers and bubblegum blowers, holding them just long enough for the next wave to land from Britain. I'm Tracy Thibodeau with Pods of Pop. Freddie joins me today to talk about his book, Where the Action Is, share stories of glory, and of course, the people and music that made it happen so distinctly.